FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haftar Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 o'clock in New York City. Stay tuned for the now weekly back of the book right here. Yeah.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably around 5 a.m., and you're listening to All.
I stand before you truly proud of what we have achieved together. We did what we came here to do, and so much more.
What you say?
Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about a few things here, and you can maybe find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can go up there. When you get to glib.com, you will see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. It will say latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you will come to the webpage for tonight's radio program. And yes, we do a web page for every single radio program. So there are rather a few of them up on glib.com. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning, so that's good. And this is our 28th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded, as we've explained a lot, and it's recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between Friday and Saturday morning, well, you're not going to hear about them on this program. Yeah, a recorded program is just not as up-to-date as a live program, but we have to record these things because it's dangerous to go and expose ourselves to the virus. And also, WBAI is locked down to us, at least. Well, let's see. Anything happened this past week? Oh, yes! We're back to 107 followers on Twitter. That's the big news. Other big news is we had hit 108 followers during the week, but somebody unfollowed us. Oh, so there we are. The next public WBAI LSB meeting should be held on Wednesday, February 10th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. Well, in other news, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 97,986,357 on Friday. Global deaths from this virus reached 2,101,894. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 24,771,973, and the death toll in America had hit 412,936. So 22,127 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. So the death rate continues to accelerate. And of course, by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures are going to be higher. We had known that the disease vector in chief, Donnie Bonespur Trump, was no longer paying any attention to the pandemic. I mean, it's a pandemic, but he was obviously not paying attention. He didn't reference it. He just talked about how he had won the election in a landslide. And we knew that his failed, quote, warp speed rollout of the available vaccines was another one of his fake claims, and that the reserve vaccine stockpiles that the White House was talking about did not in reality exist. What we have had confirmed this past few days is that the Trump administration's plan for getting the vaccine out to people also did not exist. Yeah, this just came out a couple of days ago when the Biden administration was saying, okay, we got to do this now. Please show us the plan and what you're doing. And it turns out there is no plan. So they came up with a real great way to say this. And they had good public relations stuff. We got a jingle. Hey, the COVID-19 vaccine is coming out at warp speed. Oh, it's warp speed, warp speed, warp speed. Woo-woo. And then that's about all they did. This is amazing. Oh, it's hard to wrap my mind around this. I mean, it's one thing to bungle a plan. It's another to not have planned at all. I mean, what was the White House coronavirus task force doing? Did Dr. Fauci know about this? I don't know. I think it's possible that the vaccine distribution non-plan, that aspect of it, had nothing at all to do with the other people who were dealing with trying to say things like, it's real, it's not a hoax, the way the president kept saying. You should wear a mask, wash your hands, social distance, don't unnecessarily go places, and all of that. I guess they were in charge of doing that, and the vaccine stuff was given to other people to do, and they just didn't do it.
Oh, I guess this means that the vice president didn't know about this either.
Yeah, I wonder if he didn't know about this. I sort of suspect he knew. This lack of a plan to get the vaccine out is yet another criminal act by the Trump administration. And I suppose that when you've acted in such a way as to kill over 400,000 people in America, the total lack of a plan is not that much more of a crime. God, I'm really totally amazed at this. Oh, man. I mean, it's like not doing your homework willfully. You know you got to do this homework. You know you have a deadline to get this in, and you didn't even try. There's nothing there. Except in this case, the homework you didn't bother to do is getting the vaccines out. The whole warp speed thing, I guess, simply was about, hey, look, they're producing the vaccines and they're shipping them to us. We're kind of getting some of it out, maybe some of it here and there, but we've got a reserve. Oh, you want to get the reserve used? Well, see, there's this thing about the reserve stockpiles. And, oh, yeah, the plan. You want us to give you the plan since you're the president and you and your people are taking over now and you're going to have to face this huge crisis. Well, good luck with that because we ain't got no stinking plan. Oh, this is one more thing that's going into the history books as they did what? Meanwhile, retired Mexican cardinal Juan Sandoval Iniguez, I don't know how to pronounce his name, has put out a Facebook video saying that the various COVID-19 vaccines come with a microchip in them that has, quote, the mark of the beast, unquote. Yeah, this guy's some far right-wing cardinal in Mexico, and he's been railing about the pandemic and all of this. This particular ecclesiastical clown had held a, quote, nationwide exorcism, unquote, after Mexico legalized same-gender marriage in 2015. So he's that kind of a creep. And Pickles and I have gotten our $600 checks. Actually, we got one $1,200 check, so woohoo, good for us. Of course, we have to figure out how we're going to deposit it because Pickles doesn't want to go near our bank. Our bank is really messing things up lately. She doesn't want to go near our bank because they have people crowding together. And when you went to deposit something a while ago in the ATM, you went to the ATM and you got crowded in there.
Well, actually, that was last March when the first round of stimulus checks came out. And yeah, people were lined out on the sidewalk, lined up on the sidewalk. And you go into the tiny lobby where the ATMs are, and they had them snaking around that teeny-weeny lobby, and then they were letting people in one at a time to the bank, and this lady was like, she decided she needed to press up against my back as I was trying to, you know, operate the ATM.
Should have given her an elbow in the gut.
Well, I made it clear that there was another person, that she was not leaning against a wall. She was leaning against a person, and the security guard said, hey, ma'am, you know.
So, wow.
Yeah, I know. It was like that. Those were early days in the pandemic, too, when people were extremely freaked out.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so we've gotten our check, and we got to figure out how to deposit it, and it's welcome. It will help. It will really be nice if we can get that additional $1,400 stimulus check for each of us. Boy, we'd get $2,800 if that comes off. And we'll see in the next little while how the Republicans react to the $1.9 trillion stimulus package that Biden's proposing. Will they care at all, or will the fools among them just resist helping people? Because that's what this is about, helping people. It's a pandemic. People are badly impacted by this. People have no jobs. Everything's going to hell. You got to give people some dough so they can get through this. It's not going to be so great if we get the vaccines out. And I don't know, the prediction now is next what? Autumn, winter, we're going to finally get back to something resembling normal. Is that it?
I believe so, yes.
And if it's going to make no good difference if by the time we get back to something near normal that we end up with no economics, nothing's there, no stores are open, people are, you know, having all sorts of problems. One good thing is that Biden is acting fast and he's stopping evictions. And that's a good thing. But geez, you know, he can do that with the executive order. But $1.9 trillion stimulus package. Geez, huh? We have boondoggles that go worse than that. And some of the Republicans just don't like it. Speaking of Republicans and Washington, D.C., the arrests of those January 6th insurrectionists continue. Yeah, there's increasing evidence that at least one member of Congress gave the insurgents tours of the Capitol building, showing them where the weak spots were in the building security the day before the attack happened. And the feds are still gathering evidence, but there is evidence. I think they're going to name some people, and there could be some arrests coming here. And there are some QAnon crazies in Congress now, and one of them may have been giving a tour to the other QAnon crazies. And some Republicans are still trying to say that it wasn't Trump supporters who attacked the Capitol building on January 6th. They're still saying, oh, it was Antifa. So these Antifa people sat through 4 hours and 9 minutes of Trump's right-wing Bund rally, and then they marched over to the Capitol building, and they had all sorts of Trump stuff with them, and they're the ones that trash things. I don't think so. God. But they'll say whatever they can in order to seem to get their way. And Twitter is so much better since they totally dumped Trump. In fact, more than Twitter is better since Twitter dumped Trump. It's really good that he can't issue his stupid fiats and insults via a large-scale platform like that. He's probably restricted to the revived and diminished Parler at this point with the other right-wing crazies who fawn over him. Well, he can stay there. There was a lot of speculation about what Trump was going to do with regard to pardons before he left office. At 1 o'clock on Wednesday morning, with only about 11 hours left in his presidency, Trump issued 143 clemency actions. The one that's getting the most attention is the pardon of Steve Bannon, his hench person creep guy. Bannon, who is, of course, being indicted for ripping people off by saying, yes, send us money and we'll build Trump's wall. And then he and his pals were pocketing the money. Bannon has not even gone to trial yet. Of course, he couldn't wait for that because Biden will be in by the time the trial starts and concludes. And I don't think Biden's going to really want to give Bannon a free ride for something like that. So Bannon gets pardoned even though he hasn't gone to trial. Interestingly, Bannon's three co-defendants did not get pardons. I mean, they're standing there holding the bag and saying, wait a minute, what about us? And what about you? Well, you can go up on Parler and complain about it. Well, those three guys weren't good enough pals of Trump. Also, they probably didn't have any dirt that they could spill about Trump. That might be a more important factor here than whether you're his good pal or something like that. And two rappers with gun charges were pardoned. I guess Trump is gonna look into going into rap music in the future. You know, he was a reality TV guy. Made believe he was a businessman. He was a reality TV guy. And maybe now he's going to try to get into the rap industry and he'll have these two guys loyal to him. And, you know, I wonder if he'll do something else for adulation and money. I wonder if we're going to see Donnie Bonespur Trump as a professional wrestler sometime in the future. Yeah, given how bizarre things have been with Trump over the years, I'd say it's not entirely impossible that he might stoop that low. He'd get paid a lot of money, and he'd get adulation from the crowds. He'd have crowds of people hollering, yeah, yeah, and, you know, and he'd, like, lean forward on some guy who falls down already. And, well, I don't know. If he were to lay down on top of a guy to pin him, he'd probably need to have a lot of help getting up. I don't think he could get up. And, oh, man. Well, I wonder if he becomes a wrestler, will he wear a mask when he wrestles? He could become a Mexican masked wrestler. That's the thing that in Mexico, the wrestlers wear masks for I don't know what reason. You know, he'd finally go around getting a mask. But gee whiz, it would be so ironic. He could then try and stop all the other Mexican masked wrestlers from coming into the country. Oh, lots of opportunity for some of them to remind him of things he's said about Mexican people in the past. I don't know. Maybe he won't become a Mexican masked wrestler. Maybe he'll just become a professional wrestler somewhere in America. He could end up becoming one of those guys who's the manager or something. They do this with the guys who used to be wrestlers or who have never had anything to do with wrestling, but they have some name recognition, and so they make them something, and they show up, and the wrestlers who are associated with them do bad things, and then they cheer them on, and they yell, and sometimes they'll pick up a chair and hit another wrestler with it and stuff like that. I wonder if we're going to see that from Donnie Bonespur Trump. Here he comes, the Bone Spur! Anyway, in terms of pardons, Trump also pardoned a guy named Elliot Broidy, who's a former Republican National Committee finance chairman, who was indicted in October on charges that he illegally lobbied the Trump administration to drop a major U.S. fraud case against a wealthy Malaysian businessman. Gee, that's just a little convoluted and awful sounding, isn't it? And Broidy pleaded guilty late last year. So he cops to it. He pleaded guilty. But Trump's pardon means that he's free and unconvicted now. So I guess he pled guilty so that he wouldn't have to pay too many lawyers' fees for a defense. And he knew that he was going to get sprung by Trump. I wonder if any money changed hands there. Also, a pal of Jared Kushner, who was charged with cyberstalking his ex-wife, got a pardon. Let's make sure there isn't any depth we won't go down to in Trump land to do something bad. God damn, cyberstalking. Oh, man. Also, Michael Flynn got a pardon as well. All these criminals. Various other criminals were pardoned or had their sentences commuted. I haven't gone over the entire list. Maybe there are a couple of people in there who could be properly pardoned or have their sentences commuted, but the bulk of it was cronies and real crooks. So this is really bad stuff. Usually what they do things like pardon some guy who's been in jail for 29 years because he stole a chicken. That's a real story. We did that one on BAI. A guy was in jail for 29 years because he stole a chicken 29 years earlier. So, yeah, they finally let him out. But all these other people, the world is not fair. One crook who did not get pardoned, and this was a bit of a surprise, was Trump himself. Also, none of his family members got pardoned. Ah, that may come back to bite them. Oh, I hope that comes back to bite them. Well, now the probes can begin into who got paid, how much, and by whom to get those pardons doled out. I hope those probes really strike pay dirt. There was a lot of angst leading up to the inauguration that we had on Wednesday. From the stuff that right-wing creeps were posting online, it really was necessary to have those fences set up and all those troops hanging around and all those cops from all sorts of places there. including 200 cops from the New York Police Department, which is interesting since the NYPD union, the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, endorsed Trump in the election. I don't know. Was that necessarily a good idea to have NYPD down there? Could NYPD have been counted on if something had happened? So they had the fences set up and they had all those troops. Turns out only a dozen or so of the 25,000 troops brought in to keep things safe had to be removed for doing things that made the higher-ups suspicious of them. Some of them had been in militias, some of them had made postings, and there are said things, and so they were saying, yeah, these guys here. I'm sure there were a whole lot of other people who were kind of in that area, but they didn't have suspicions that they were going to actually act on it. It's one thing to shoot your mouth off a little bit. It's entirely another thing to be somebody who looks like, yeah, he might decide to go down in history. Anyway, nothing happened, and that is good. And the inauguration went off. Oh, it was good to see that. Pickles and I watched it on TV. We watched the whole damn thing and the singing and all of that stuff, and Lady Gaga in the dress that was so big and puffy she couldn't sit down. And so, this was good. We watched it all. It's not the sort of thing I'm generally going to watch, but since it was cleansing us of the filth of the past 4 years, it was something we watched. It was good to watch it. And so they went through the whole ritual for hours, and there was no disruption. And they had a guy wiping everything down between speakers, and they, you know, that's a good thing, but it's interesting. A guy runs, somebody speaks or sings, and he runs up there when they walked away, and he's scrubbing away on everything. I guess he probably had, like, bleach or alcohol or something in there, and he's wiping all that stuff down so the next person doesn't walk into germs. And so the inauguration happened. We have our first female and not white vice president. We have an experienced person as president. Yeah, it's good that he's boring. We have complaints about politicians all the time, but having a boring politician who's a politician in the White House is an improvement over the horror story we've had for the past 4 years. Biden did not give an American carnage speech the way Trump did 4 years ago. He just got in there and he said the stuff he wants to do and all of that, got sworn in and all of this stuff. And yeah, we did get to see Bill Clinton catching a short nap during the inauguration. That was amusing. And Bernie Sanders made a fashion statement, and that got a lot of attention. He just came in and sat there in his brown jacket with a hood on it, which he didn't pull up. I suppose since he's from Vermont, he's used to it being quite cold, and Pickles of the North is used to much colder weather than I am, so when I'm really cold, it's not much to her at all. And she can also go through snow a lot better than I can. Found that out a few years ago, coming back from doing the program when we had a two-hour program on early Monday mornings, and a couple of times it snowed heavily. And as we're coming back, Pickles is plowing through the snow very easily, and I had to follow in back of her because she knows how to do it. I don't. Oh, well. Bernie Sanders didn't wear a hat or anything, didn't pull up the hood on his coat, and I suspect the deal is he's just used to that kind of cold, being from Vermont, and his mittens got a lot of attention, too. And that kind of thing, that's a lot better than the stuff we could expect from Trump. So this is all good. The Clinton falling asleep, the Bernie Sanders sitting there, you know, just slouching sort of and dressed the way he was. That's all good stuff.
Do you remember, and I'm sure you do, 4 years ago when we were watching the American Carnage speech with Uncle Sidney? We were having our inaugural, I can't say that word, Say it for
inaugural
me.
Inaugural luncheon.
That's it. And our mouths had just dropped open during this thing. And afterwards, we were eating our sandwiches and having our treats and saying, holy crap, we need to get together 4 years from now for the next luncheon. And hopefully it will be a better one. And it turned out it was a much better one, but we couldn't get together.
Which was
sad.
We're all having to stay separated. Otherwise, we'll give each other horrifying diseases. Maybe this is the last time we'll have to say this. We've been saying it for 4 years. Maybe this is the last time. Just remember that the Trump administration's behavior was not normal. And we hope that we never have to experience anything like it again. Pickles of the North and I continue our pandemic lifestyle. The refrigerator is working again. It should continue to do so for a couple of weeks. Then we'll need to defrost our frost-free refrigerator and reboot it again. On the last program, Pickles of the North talked about Freddie the Monarch Butterfly. And it was a nice little story. It got us out of all the death and the mayhem. And, well, we have some more Monarch Butterfly news this week. It ain't so good. There's a nonprofit organization called the Xerxes Society, and they count butterflies. And they recorded fewer than 2,000 butterflies along the California coast. In the 80s, there were millions of them. And so they're very worried that that branch of the monarch butterfly species could go extinct. And it could go extinct kind of soon-ish. And scientists note that the monarch butterfly population in the eastern United States has declined by about 80% since the mid-1990s. See, there are two separate populations of monarch butterflies. These butterflies in California, they fly east for a little ways and do their thing. And then they fly off to the coast of California, and they stay there for the winter months. And, you know, that's just the way they do it. And so, wow, only 2,000, where before there were millions 35, 40 years ago, and only like 10 years ago, or even fewer years ago than 10, there were tens of thousands of them, which is a big tumble from millions, but 2,000 is really stark. Then you've got the eastern population, the monarch butterflies that we will see here in New York. We used to see a lot of them Coney Island. We'd be in Coney Island, and monarch butterflies would come flying by in like, I don't know, September, October, and they'd be heading west. And we'd say, good luck, and they would be visible. And what they did was they have a multi-generational trip, and those butterflies end up flying from Canada and around here in the eastern United States, and they fly across the United States, and then they fly down to Mexico, where you can see that there are loads of them on the trees, and they hang out there. And it's quite the sight, and people have taken pictures and done documentaries about them. And there are a lot fewer of them, too. So both of the populations of the monarch butterfly species are in dire trouble. And I would not be surprised if climate change is doing this, because they're very susceptible to not having their food, which is milkweed. They have to feed on milkweed, and they need that. And they also have to lay their eggs there. And so the plant life along their flight route is absolutely essential. And if some of that plant life isn't there anymore or has moved somewhere else, because part of what happens with global warming and climate change is plant species, some of them, yeah, will just die in place and that's it. But a lot of what happens is they still keep propagating, but they go somewhere, usually north of where they are, in the northern hemisphere, north, because it's too warm for them to survive where they've been for hundreds of thousands of years. And now the plants keep sending out seeds and things, and the seeds don't germinate very well in the old stomping grounds. And the thing is, some of them go a bit north and they can go there, but the monarch butterflies don't necessarily know that. So the monarch butterflies are missing the food they need and the plants they need, and some of them are starving on the flight. So this is a bad thing. I mean, Jesus Christ, we can't even have monarch butterflies anymore? Oh, that's bad news.
This is why all the, in the city of New York, all the plant life that's put in by the Parks Department, they're all pollinator gardens. It's all plants that the butterflies, especially the monarchs, and different variety of bees go to get their sustenance. So it's possible that, I mean, New York City has a very healthy bee population. And a lot of that is because we have pollinator plants all over the place and no use of pesticides. So this is healthy for the monarchs too. So ironically, this big city may have a healthy population of these pollinators.
But if they die on, you know, yeah, their mandatory migration, we won't have any.
I know.
Yeah, terrible. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from an antenna atop 4 Times Square, being fed from a studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, and being pre-recorded in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. We are also streaming live at WBAI.org, and at WBAI.org there are also archives. And I just wanted to mention, we are hearing that the QAnon cuckoos are feeling disillusioned. What's happened is QAnon is this stupid thing. It sounds like something a kid in grammar school would make up. It's supposed to be, there's this secret super-duper person who's, I don't know, embedded in the government or something like that. And this person has the goods on everybody. And this person says, yes, the Democrats and Hillary Clinton, they're all the satanic, cannibalistic pedophiles. And, you know, this is what they are. And this QAnon guy is... he knows about it. He knows all their secrets, and he's going to help us to stop them. And that's what all the QAnon people are supposed to be about. And this is related to that Pizzagate thing some years ago. God, stupid stuff. And this Pizzagate thing where this pizza parlor was supposedly engaged in child sex trafficking, and they had a dungeon in their basement where they did all sorts of things. And this came about because of the lovely WikiLeaks leaking of Podesta's emails. And, you know, Podesta wasn't writing about this stuff happening, but they could put some spins on things, and some idiot came up with, oh, this place has the dungeon. The place doesn't even have a basement. And some jerk showed up at one point and started firing his rifle, his high power rifle in there. He's in jail. And so, now what's happening is they were told that Trump was going to triumph. He was going to stop all of this. He was going to shut it down. And Hillary Clinton and all the Democrats were going to go to prison. And oh, boy, all of their great fantasies would be fulfilled. And as it turns out, this isn't happening. And now that Trump isn't even president anymore, some of them are realizing it's impossible. You can see why some of them were so crazy and insane when they were storming the Capitol building, because they think they're the great patriots who are going to free the children who are being raped and cannibalized by the Democrats. This is like, wow, you know, I know that political mudslinging happens, but cannibalism? And so they, the QAnon people haven't heard anything from Q lately. Yes, Q, not the Star Trek character Q, but Q, the super secret government intelligence person whom they all was going to do everything. And so some of them are now starting to say, is it possible we've all been deceived? I guess the slightly brighter ones are starting to realize that, yeah, you fools have been buying a whole lot of stupid stuff that any grammar school kid would be able to figure out is make-believe. But you've been buying it, and you've, in some cases, literally, because there's a lot of, as you saw with the attack on the Capitol building, there's a lot of QAnon merchandise. They sell flags, T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoods, all sorts of things. There's a lot of merchandise in it. So people are making money off this garbage. And now they're starting to say, huh. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting to see how it metamorphoses over time. And no, it won't entirely go away. Somebody will come up with something and they'll say, well, there it goes. Now we've got it, kids. It's really going to work out for us. That's how I think it's going to go. All right. So we've talked about the ritual of the inauguration and everything, and...
And some other very good things did happen this week. We had Martin Luther King Day, always an important day, and people do a lot of good things on that day in service. We had the inauguration, as our Paul said, and for us personally, we had a couple of very important things happen. We had our anniversary of when we first got together, and our wedding anniversary.
Yeah, both those things in the same week, because Pickles decided, yeah, we got to get married some years ago. And she decided we would make it so that the wedding date was as close as we could possibly get it to the date when we say that our relationship began. And so we had our 15th wedding anniversary this past week. And... the day before this program is airing, which is right now for us since we're having to pre-record it, we are celebrating our 24th anniversary of our relationship.
Wow.
Woohoo! So, oh, yes, my dear, 24 years, you've somehow been able to stand around near me. Oh, my godlessness. I don't know how you do it.
Oh, please.
All right.
Let me pop a pee.
Oh, yeah,
please.
Yes, we're using...
Leave those in.
We're using Shure SM58 microphones here, and they have a tendency to pop our peas. And if you listen closely now and again, you'll hear us popping a pee. Although, as much as possible, I cut those out. There is a way of editing out a popped pee. But sometimes I can't get to them, and there it is.
Oh, do you remember the loveliness of our wedding day?
Oh, yeah.
It was pouring rain. We went down to the municipal building in Manhattan. There we enter with our little bag full of boutonnieres and little bouquets. And there's the X-ray machine, so the flowers go on the X-ray machine, and then we have to go through the X-ray machine, and then get wanded, and then the extra special searching of the ankles, make sure there's nothing down there and where the cuff of the pants are. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, they searched your ankles. They didn't search my ankles. I think there might have been... I think the guards might have been more interested in your ankles than in mine, and not for professional reasons.
I don't know, but I just, and some of the, you know, some of the people going through there to get married Wow, they're all dressed up in beautiful wedding gowns and suits and things. So just imagine the indignity of having to be, you know. What did those poor ladies have to do? Did they have to lift their lovely wedding gowns up to show that they weren't carrying any concealed weapons or something? I don't know.
I don't know. But yes, there were people in full wedding drag. Mm-hmm. We just went there. We just went there. In fact, I think up on glib.com on my website, we do in fact have our wedding pictures. And you can see that we didn't exactly dress up for it.
Well,
the deal is
we got
married mostly because the main thing is a relationship. And a relationship is the main thing. We got largely married because of, among other things, how you get treated in a hospital. I had helped my male ex through hospitals at times. He had AIDS, and I had been his designated person, I forget what it's called, and we'd signed all the paperwork, and they never paid any attention to me, and they didn't care. And sometimes they would just leave him in a bad state, and I'd say, hey, and they wouldn't pay attention to me. And when we went to the VA hospital, my male ex didn't go to the VA hospital, but in the VA hospital, they always assumed that Pickles was my wife. I think largely because we were older folks. And they just assumed it. And she was treated properly and given information and had standing and all of this. And we said, yeah, you know, this is something that's very important. So maybe, you know, if they find out she's only my girlfriend, so to speak, because they aren't going to recognize a relationship, they'll say, oh, it's just a girlfriend, they might not treat her so well. So we said, let's get married. And we did.
Well, that's why it's so important for people to be able to do that, for everyone to be able to do that. So they can be officially recognized as being one another's family and be able to take care of one another. So
my male ex had a lover after me, and that guy had asthma. And one day in the 90s, we had a really fierce ice storm. And so he decided he would stay at work anyway and keep working. And the ice storm had an effect on him, and he started not being able to breathe. He got a massive asthma attack. And the male ex and he went to St. Francis Hospital in Newark, and they wouldn't pay attention to the male ex. He had seen it for his lover. He had signed all those papers that you're supposed to sign, and therefore you're supposed to be treated as a proxy for the person. And the guy started losing consciousness, and my male ex was telling him, no, you got to intubate him. That's what you got to do. And they paid no attention. They never intubated him. He died.
Yeah.
He died of asthma. And, you know, that's a stupid thing to die from. They could have intubated him, shot him up with some drugs. He would have come out of it. It would have been very unpleasant, but he'd be alive. But they didn't, and they paid no attention to the male ex, and they wouldn't even talk to him. And the people they would talk to were his mother, who was also quite furious. But and that was it. So this is the way you got to watch out for yourself. And being able to be married is a serious, important right. And marriage equality has happened, and I'm very glad about that. I remember fighting for that. God, it's 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so that's a part of why we got married, and it's all formal and all of that stuff. All right. You know, I have this thing I want to talk about. How did Americans get so stupid? Well, you know, how come Americans are doing QAnon and stuff?
Oh, please do that next time. Please don't skip it. We want to.
Yeah.
Because I want to know. Youth wants to know.
Oh, I keep putting this off.
Youth wants to know, Shani.
I keep putting this off. I got to do it next time. And right now, we need to pitch. Yes, we need to pitch. So please, this is listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, WBAI New York. And what we need to do is ask you to keep us going here. We're listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio. And since we don't have commercials, the way we survive, since it takes money, we have to pay rent and electricity bills, big electricity bills. Radio stations have big, gigantic electricity bills. And so we need to ask you to help us. The main way management wants you to help us is by becoming a BAI buddy. And a BAI buddy is a sustaining membership. What you do is you call 1-516-620-3602 and you tell the person on the other end of the line that you want to become a BAI buddy. You want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And what you do then is you tell them how much you want to contribute on a monthly basis. And what happens is you can tell them you want to donate $5 a month or $10 a month, maybe $15 a month or $20 a month. And that's what you want to do. And they will set things up so that your credit card or debit card is charged once a month at that rate. You also get to tell them exactly what day of the month you want your card charged. So again, 1-516-620-3602. That's the number to call and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's 1-516-620-3602. You want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It will help to keep all of this stuff going. It will help to pay the bills, and it will also tell management that we have listeners. That's very important that management know we have listeners. The overnight programs don't get as much attention as the big deal programs in the daytime and early evening. And so, yeah, these overnight programs get neglected sometimes. We need to show management that we have listeners, that you are there. And if we can't do that, you may someday find yourself with permanent pre-recording of something else in here, or you might just get the daytime programming here. We are hoping that the pandemic will be over at some point, and we'll go back to doing live radio at this hour. So that will be something that will be good, because it's different doing freeform live radio instead of doing sort of half freeform pre-recorded radio. It's just different. 1-516-620-3602. You can help to keep Back of the Book on WBAI and help keep WBAI on the air. And if you prefer to use the old method we used to use, you could make a single lump sum payment all at once. You can call the same number, 1-516-620-3602, and tell the person who picks up you want to just donate a certain amount of money, and they will talk you through that. 1-516-620-3602. We do need to hear from some folks right now. We seriously need to hear from as many as you as possible, and it will not only help to keep the station alive and help to keep Back of the Book on the air, it will also let management know that the overnight radio programs have listeners. You are there. And this is the real way we tell them. 1-516-620-3602. We don't have much time left. Please, please call that number now. And you can tell them you want to donate $5 a month or $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month. And you can tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged for that amount of money. And you will be doing a great thing for WBAI and for Back of the Book. And with that, I think we've come to the end of another Back of the Book radio program. All right, we are not going to be getting in the thing about how have Americans become so stupid. That's just not going to happen this time. We're going to definitely plug it in for the next radio program. And yeah, we'll talk about all these things and how did we get to QAnon. So that's for the next program. And right now, we're going to go. We'll be back here in 1 week. Coming up next is the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. And at 7 o'clock this morning is Jim Freund with his program Hour of the Wolf, all about science fiction stuff. And we'll be back in a week. And we're really glad that a change has happened this past week. Look out the window and try to stay warm. And above all, remember what that really, really glad we've got a boring person in the White House, Dormouse, said.
light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that it was so easy. You used to say that it was so...
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's two overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public. A BAI buddy is also not without perks. Your monthly contribution will earn you a WBAI tote bag and a member card offering Zipcar sales, discounted meals at select restaurants, and a handful of other benefits. You will also become a full voting member of WBAI, and our diverse programming will reflect your voice. Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support Free Speech Radio today.
On this week's show of Working Class Heroes Radio, we speak with mail carrier Frank Couget about the struggles that postal workers have been fighting throughout the Trump administration. From budget cuts to Trump's attempts to sabotage mail-in voting system, postal workers are fighting to save the U.S. Postal Service. We'll also talk about President Biden's first 100 days in office and what kind of president he'll be to working class people. So tune in on Saturday, January 23rd at 6 p.m. to catch our show, U.S. Postal Service is Not for Sale, on WBAI 99.5 FM, the radio station for working class New York.
Extinction Diaries. A Yale study confirms that a mass extinction 66 million years ago included a steep drop in ocean pH levels, a clear sign the oceans were high in acidity, just like today. By studying the fossil remains of ancient plankton, scientists determined these and other marine animals with shells and skeletons from calcium carbonate were disproportionately wiped out in that extinction. The study suggests higher ocean acidity prevented these calcifiers from creating their shells. This means the first level of the ocean food chain, supporting the rest of the ecosystem, collapsed and triggered the mass extinction. Acidity in today's oceans have not been this high since tens of millions of years before modern man. Our civilization is adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, and the oceans are absorbing that, raising the acidity. Today's coral, shellfish, and species like shrimp, crabs, and lobster are already wearing down their shells. Oddly, we recognize the consequences, but continue to fail to fix the problem. My name is Arne Oliveira, and this is a Small World Radio production.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me. I thank you. Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Tell me a story about your time at WBAI so I can let people know that you, in fact, have returned from retirement.
I retired because I was tired, but I found retirement more tiring than coming to BAI. BAI can be exhausting. But Trump's there, and you have to yak about it. And if you're sitting at home, you're just shouting to the walls. When you have a program at WBAI, you can alert them about Donald Trump.
That's David Rothenberg. Tune in to any Saturday mornings from 8 to 10.
This is a well-oiled promotion, please.
I believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
Radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
Tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WB.